So on Christmas Eve, we read from Luke's Gospel, the birth story of Jesus. But on Christmas Day, we always read from John's Gospel. And in Luke's Gospel, we encounter a very human birth story in fairly simple terms. There is the baby, his parents, and excited visitors. And though there are strange happenings around the edges, choirs of angels singing of God's glory and angelic messengers encouraging people to play their part, it is all, in a sense, very ordinary. John's gospel, though, as we just heard, places the strange and overwhelming glory of God at the center and allows the ordinary happenings to reside at the edges. Together, these two very different accounts reveal how the ordinary and the glorious are eternally intertwined. John describes the nature of the divine by weaving a metaphor that cannot be diluted into rational realities and presents a mystery that cannot be solved. It can only be treasured. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning. The Word there from the beginning. All things came into being in him, and he was life and light to all people. Then John goes on to say that the light, that light of life, shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Now, right here, we might take issue with John. The darkness did not overcome the light. Every day, the light of hope seems to be snuffed out in the lives of any number of people. Accidents, tragedies, wars. Every day, it seems as if the darkness overcomes the light somewhere in someone's life. But true darkness is not when tragedy hits, when a relationship is strained to the breaking point, when a life is taken, when injustice flourishes. True darkness is to be alone in these valleys of death. True darkness is for there to be no hope that the chains of injustice might be broken apart. But we are never alone, and hope is never absent. Because from before time, from beyond space, the Word, the light of life, has walked with us. Sometimes we fail to see it, not because it is off in the distance, but because it is so very near to us. In the book of Deuteronomy, when the people are commanded to love the Lord their God with all their heart and soul in order that they might live, God explains that the capacity to live this command of love is within them. Surely, this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us, that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us, that we may hear it and observe it?" No. The Word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. God exists outside of time and outside of space, and yet John insists that the grandeur of the light that is God's love breaks into the small lives that we live, bound as they are by time and by space. God's glory right here among us. If only we can have eyes to see and ears to hear. In the Message translation of the Bible, Eugene Peterson puts this truth in very simple terms, writing, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." John writes also that in the Word becoming flesh, we see the glory of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Or as Peterson translates, we saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Glory is not perhaps as we think to be found in grandeur of material splendor. Glory is seen in God's love breaking into the world. Glory is when we see ourselves, our neighbors, our enemies, and all the world reflected back to us as they are loved by God. This is true glory. At the heart of God's glory is love for all creation, and most especially for humankind. For in our very flesh, God has dwelt. Inside our own hearts, God's love flutters, protects, holds vigil. This is good news. This is good news of joy for all people, for we are so much more than we think we are. This day, this Christmas day, we are reminded that God's love comes and finds us when we are lost. If we cannot feel or find it or see it, well, that is no surprise, because it is the strange audacity of God to dwell where we are most unlikely to look, in the depths of our own being, in the depths of our own humanity, our limitedness, our vulnerability and struggles, our own darkness. Even if we think we are unworthy, God's love draws near. Even if we think we have no need of it, God's love draws near. But God's love is not the stuff of Hallmark cards and good feelings. God's love confronts as much as it comforts. It is the glory of God's love that it cannot coexist with systems of the world that would have us believe that some are more worthy than others to have life and light. As Reverend Karen Thompson explains, God's glory is incompatible with political systems that use their power against people and creation. This is the glorious light of God shining in the darkness, freeing us from our stuckness and roles of oppressor and oppressed, freeing us from being chained to regrets of the past, freeing us from fear of the future. Freeing us from our limited vision of ourselves and others that so often see only with eyes of shame and judgment and hatred and cynicism. In the glory of God, we glimpse the kingdom of God, the realm of peace and justice that is our ultimate calling. Empires and oppressive kings, dictators and abusers of power, they think they can surpass God's glory with more gold or more jewels or more money, but they misunderstand. The glory of God is not found in wealth or jewels or precious stones. God's glory is what Mary sings of. God has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. We are called to embody God's justice and love in the world by living it out in our hands, our hearts, and the way that we walk through each and every day. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, and remains here still, guiding us to be witnesses that the kingdom of God is not far off, it is very near. The glorious light and love of God shimmers nearby, as near as our own hearts. A light of hope burns within each of us. It is a holy light, and we are called to bear this light unto others, to remind them that the light of God's love is not far off at all. As long as there are people in the world who testify to the light, as long as there are those who will hold on to hope, who will bear the promise that God is always binding up the brokenhearted and lifting up the lowly and bringing down the powerful from their thrones so that they too can see that they do not need power, they only need God's love. This means the darkness cannot overcome, because there will always be someone who will testify to this light. There will always be someone who has the light of hope in them who will bear it out into the world. And on this day of all days, we are reminded that we are called to be bearers of that light.